Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer podcast. I'm Chris Randazzo, and joining me tonight is something I didn't come up with because I forgot to write it this week. Let's see, I'm going to come up with something quick. I just realized I did the rest of the script
off the
and
cuff.
I didn't do this.
That's right.
Off
what
the
do
cuff.
You got?
Oh, I don't know. Super Saiyan Carrot, Dan Ryan.
I'll go with it. That's fine.
Sure. Why not? Let's roll that. It's the end. It's not the end of our summer series.
Nope. It's not that either.
Stop reading the script.
Yeah, you really do.
Last week, it was the end of our summer series, so we discussed Goodies 2. What the hell are we doing this week? Who knows? It's the 10, 20, 30, 40 and stuff, and we got a whole lot of stuff. Apparently, Dan wants to ask me a question, so, I mean, I don't know. Keep your power levels in check, because the Stone Age Gamer podcast
starts
now.
Oh, that was
now.
Good. Well done. Well done. Off the old dome. You're like
right.
Fucking, what? Oh, God damn it. Jimmy Fallon in Celebrity Jeopardy. He was doing French Williams or whatever. What was that guy's name? Do you remember?
Treat Williams?
No, not Treat Williams.
French
That's
Stewart?
French Stewart, thank you. French Williams, the fuck I know what I'm talking about. It was very funny.
Well, hi everyone. This is episode 378. It's the week of October 1st.
Yeah. It's the week of your daughter's birthday.
October 1st is Friday. The
Friday.
Birthday party's Sunday, and I've lost all track of what day today is, so yay!
My birthday is Saturday. My daughter's birthday is Friday. It's very exciting for everybody involved.
Lots of birthing.
It's weird that we're having a joined party. Like, 5 and 41 is weird.
It's that
thing.
You both mean exactly the same amount to me.
Aw, thanks, man. That's sad, I think. I feel bad for Ellie.
Yes, it is quite sad. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, I love my daughter more than you.
I really would hope so. It's really...
I'm changing it to October 1st in the script so I don't forget it. So,
okay, that's
so
good.
I gotta know, what's this question? What's this thing that you need to talk to me about?
So, I mean, the internet has certainly shared their hot takes, hot fire, on the Mario movie news.
Ah, yes, this.
And the only person whose opinion I actually gave a shit about on this was yours. Because, I have my opinion, but this legitimately is not a let me ask you the question so then I can say the shit I want to say about it. I am really curious as to your opinion on the cast.
Well, I was planning on going over the Nintendo Direct as a whole, kind of like we did to the PlayStation event. Do you want to do it then, or shall we attack
it
right
let's
now?
I say I haven't played shit this week, apart from pad and fucking baseball. I'm just like, I took a break after Psychonauts, and then we've been prepping. So this episode comes out on Friday. We're recording on Monday, so on Tuesday, Safe at Home Rescue is getting its first big dump. Like, we are official as of, you know, tomorrow when we're recording, or 3 days ago when you're listening to this. We were originally going to get 10 dogs. We're now getting 13 dogs, because when one of our
was buy 10 get 3 free.
Yeah, it's a very weird deal that the Amish run. when our person went to go grab the dogs from these mills, she was at one of them and they were like, "Oh yeah, we forgot we had this one." And then another one was like, "Oh yeah, we forgot we had this one." And then the last one she stopped at, there was a pug that was in a crate, like just up at the front of the property. And the pug very obviously had flesh wounds, right? Like open wounds on its back.
Aww.
And this lady was like, what's up with the pug? And they were like, oh, yeah, it got into a fight with one of the mean dogs we have on the property, and we're just going to put her down. And she was like, the fuck you are? So now we're getting a pug that needs, you know, sutures or something as well tomorrow. It's going to be a fucking shit show, Chris. I'm really excited about it. I think.
I was just going to say, it sounds like exactly what you signed up for.
There's going to be, so at some point tomorrow, like I need to say this out loud, because it's stupid. I have 5 dogs of my own. There are 13 new dogs coming to my house tomorrow. They're not all staying for more than like 20 minutes because we're going to start like distributing them out to the fosters and whatnot. But for the briefest of moments, there are going to be 18 fucking dogs in my house. And that is absurd because we're getting a pug, 3 dachshunds. So little, like, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, little guys, like, whatever. That's fine. But then the rest of the dogs are split between Golden Doodles and Bernedoodles. So they're Bernese Mountain Dog Poodle mixtures and Golden Retriever Poodle mixtures. And, yeah, it's going to be a whole fucking thing, Chris.
I do not envy you in that situation, sir.
I mean, it's going to be good. Like, once we get them adopted out, this will really help us, like, get off the ground. You know what I mean? Like, we can adopt all these dogs out. That's a decent chunk of money so we can, you know, cover surgeries for other dogs. And, like, so we can, you know, start doing the things that we need to do. It's just a lot of setup and a lot of work. So, I mean, if anybody, you know, wants to like go buy some shit off of our Amazon list, safeathomerescue.com or .org, either way, you can check out our website. It's all like officially official. I made a baseball card for them. It's very cute.
I'm sure the dogs we have appreciate like, it.
They do. They all looked at me and they were like, yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. Like you could see, they didn't say it. Obviously they don't speak English. But you could see it in their eyes. It was a very like fuck you kind of like fuck yeah kind of look. Not a fuck you look. It's very different. That was when I didn't give them a treat. But yeah, safeandhomerescue.org or .com. You can check out the dogs and our Amazon wish list and donate if you're feeling froggy. I'm gonna be annoying about it for the first couple of weeks, I'm sorry. That's like a whole thing that's happening.
Yeah, you do what you gotta do, man.
Yeah, man. Just trying to fucking save some lives, dude. You know, apparently 13 of them tomorrow. That's apparently what I'm going to do. So, yeah, I don't know how much gaming I'm going to get done this week either.
Well, that's fine. You do what you gotta do.
Is it?
Summer series is over, you know.
Yeah, I don't have to do anything anymore.
Yeah. Let's see. So I'll get through mine real quick. I've been doing... I got reviews assigned for Dragon Ball Z Kakarot and Centipede Rearmed, Reimagined, Recharged. That's it, Recharged. Centipede Recharged.
Reneged.
Reneged. it's kind of like...
That's exciting, though.
Yeah, Missile Command Recharged came out last year.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. I didn't really put much time into it. Centipede... is pretty much the same treatment. It's Centipede. A lot more to it.
Yeah, I mean, is that going to be your review? Do you want me, I'll even do that one for free for you, Chris. Like, I'll just write that one. Like, it's Centipede.
This, you know what? And that's what I thought. Next. And then I got my word count. It was like 500 some words. I was like, how the hell am I supposed to write? Fine. So I just sat down and started writing all the thoughts that came to my head about this game. And then I was like, oh, cool. I'm at 650 words. Now I got to pare shit down. Awesome.
Now I got to edit. God damn it.
Son of a bitch. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot has been an interesting experience so far. I'm not very far into it, but it was yet another stark reminder that most modern video games just aren't for me. Because this thing started up and I got into like a fake training fight with Piccolo and it was like 3 pages of what all the controls are. It wasn't like, you know, step-by-step tutorial. And it was just like, here's all the controls, here's all the buttons. And I'm like, ouch. I can't remember any of this shit. And then they explain all the different orbs that you can collect and explain how to move around when you're on the flying Nimbus. And it's like systems on top of systems. And then there's like these tokens that you get and you can put these tokens on these different boards, but there's like different boards for different kinds of tokens. And if you put other tokens on the same boards, they can have certain attributes that'll level these things up. And then those tokens can be used for other things. And I was, the whole thing's making my head spin. It's way too complicated. For me, it's way too complicated for me, but it is fun to play because I've been more or less ignoring that stuff and just trying to get into the battles. And like, as I start to get a little bit of the hang of the fighting system, it is kind of fun. So I have a long way to go on it. I just started it, but, that's been kind of neat. The biggest news for me is that I started painting the basement.
Ooh.
I got the wall that I'm looking at done today. And I think I don't like the color. So I went out to get a gray, and I found the thing that looked like exactly what I wanted it to look like. And so I, you know, set aside all day today. I moved all my shelves and everything. I took it all on my artwork, and I painted this whole wall, and it just looks blue.
Really?
Yeah. It's
because of like the shit in the room, or it's just a bluish gray?
It's a bluish gray, which was more or less what I was after, was something with a very faint bluish tint to it, but it's so much more blue here than it looked in the store. It's wild. And like, I held the paint, you know, the little sample tab thingy that they gave us, I held it up to the wall. It's a perfect match. It's just, you know, I'm in a basement with this kind of lighting as opposed to in a Home Depot with that kind of lighting. And it just, it came out so much more blue than I wanted it to. So I think I might have to go back and get a different color.
That is unfortunate.
It is indeed. Cause you know, paint's not super cheap, but
not super cheap. It's not super. Super expensive.
I didn't get like, you know, the ultra high sensitivity UV protection, whatever. I just got paint. And it was fine.
just give me some paint. That's all I want, sir.
I just want gray paint. But yeah, I'm gonna need to. As I'm sitting here looking at it, it's a huge improvement over the old teeth yellow that the rest of the basement is.
Sure.
Like, I really like the look of this, but it's too. It's definitely gray, but it's gray bordering on like a very faint sky blue, and it's not. Not really what I was going for.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to sit on it for a couple of days because maybe this is right. Maybe this is what I actually want out of my life. I don't know. I don't know what I want.
I mean, maybe.
Because it doesn't look bad. It's just every time I look at it, I'm like, yeah, it's blue. That's not what I want. I don't want blue. It looks like a baby blue. And this is,
do you want like Nintendo gray? Like the light Nintendo gray? Or like Super NES cart gray? Or is that too dark?
More like the light NES gray. That's pretty spot on. Like the light NES, the top of an NES.
That's what I'm saying.
The faceplate on a GameCube or something like that. That kind of a gray. So this is the right lightness, but it's more of a bluish gray, and I want more of a blackish gray.
So why don't you just get the get the hex code for the NES gray and just take that and be like, just make this.
Well, because I want it a little bit lighter than that.
A little light,
I want that kind of gray, but I want it lighter than that. So, okay.
Yeah. All right, I get you.
I'll get it figured out. It's not the end of the world. Just, you know, that was my day today. I'm exhausted.
It's exhausting. Painting is awful.
Moving all that furniture, taping everything. And yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. All right, so there was a Nintendo Direct on September 23rd.
Let's get into this.
Very happy. I love Nintendo Directs. I almost always do. And
this was a long one too.
Yeah, it was pretty beefy. It was 40 minutes. So there was some stuff going on. Let's see here. So it kicked off. There were a couple of rumors beforehand. There was one actual leak beforehand.
Yeah.
It was just a Nintendo listed something on a website. Like an hour or two early.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what it was, so I successfully avoided all leaks and speculations and stuff. And there were a couple of good surprises in here. And I think I thought I had notes for the whole thing because I clicked through it earlier and somehow I totally skipped one thing. So I shoved that in. Probably not exactly where it happened in there, but whatever. It's close enough. So it started off with Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak. I feel like we've been getting a bunch of Nintendo Directs starting with Monster Hunter stuff lately. It's a big brand. I don't give a shit at all about it, but yay?
Yeah, no, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Looks good for... Yeah, no, sure.
People love Monster Hunter Rise.
Monster Hunter is cool.
Yeah, it's been a big success for them, so... That's pretty spiffy. Oh my goodness, I'm already yawning.
Yeah, it's not a great sign.
Yeah. Then they talked a bit about Mario Party Superstars, which they showed a couple more boards for it. I mean, I already pre-ordered the thing, and Dan couldn't care less. So.
Yeah, that snoozed me right out. I was like, bleh.
I'm like, okay, I mean, obviously, yes, you're going to talk about this. Although there were a couple of, like, things coming out later this year that we know about that they didn't talk about at all. They didn't mention Advance Wars, and they didn't mention Big Brain Academy. Which was
I'm a little concerned at the lack of mentioning Advance Wars.
Yeah, my only thought is that they're probably going to give it its own direct in like November or something.
Maybe,
you know, one of those game specific ones. That seems to make the most sense to me. Because I feel like they want to put a bunch behind that game, and they're probably going to try and like, hey, you know, Fire Emblem's really popular. These guys did this too. You should play it.
you should check it out, man.
Give this one a roar. Huh?
Pretty cool.
Let's see. Next up was Voice of Cards, The Isle of Dragon Roars. Yeah, don't care.
Couldn't care any less.
But it was really a not for me thing because I was very shocked to see how many people when I went on Twitter afterwards were like, man, I gotta try that Voice of Cards demo. It looks awesome. Like, really?
Does it? I mean, good for you. I hope you love it.
Go nuts.
I hope it's the best thing ever in the style of game that it is.
Which was the style at the time. sorry, I was thirsty. All right, let's see. Then we had Disco Elysium, which I've had a lot of people tell me is like a really, really good game.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm never going to play it.
No, it looks pretty
cool.
Just
looked at it like, okay, this is cool. I might even enjoy it, but it's just never going to happen for me. I already know this.
Right.
They talked a little bit more about the Age of Calamity expansion pass. I should finish that game someday.
You should.
I should. It's fun.
You actually liked it.
I did. I still do. Just, you know. I haven't finished Skyward Sword yet either. It's not enough hours in the day.
No.
This next one was a big shock to me. Chocobo GP.
Yeah.
I can't believe that they're bringing this back.
Yeah, is what I had for that one, too. It
was my Chocobo Racing on PlayStation 1. And I'm like, this is a fun little racing game. I mean, I'm not gonna play it. I'm not going to buy it. It was one of those things that made me like, all right, I'm glad this is here. This is pretty cool. Good for you guys. Way to bring this franchise back.
It just seems so odd to me to put in effect a kart racer on a Nintendo platform. Like, it's not Mario Kart. Just put it, like, not saying don't make it. You just, like, put it somewhere else.
Ah, man, they do well. Because, Mario Kart keeps selling. People keep playing it, but, you know, Crash Team Racing did great.
Yeah, I guess.
There's been a handful. Other kart racers do just fine. There's plenty of room on the Switch. Besides, this one, I don't know. Oh, this next one. Yeah. So, on October 5th, we're getting the final Sakurai Presents.
I mean...
He's going to kill himself at the end.
He might. I was trying to think, too, like, I wonder if...
He's
going
to go back to his home planet. My work here is done, and he's just going to fade away.
I wonder if it's going to be, like, a fucking Metroid character, because Dread is coming out, and maybe that's why it's October 5th, like, they're timing it to, like...
Nah, they added Ridley.
Coincide. I know, but, like... wouldn't it just figure, like, everybody, it's the final one, and there's so many possibilities, right? There's so many things that people really want to see.
Who could
see.
They possibly add from Metroid
Adam?
That isn't there already?
Be like, oh, God. Why?
Anthony Higgs.
Yeah, yeah from, you know what I mean? Or Mother like M. a Federation Force Hunter.
Remember me? No, I don't. No, nobody remembers you.
No, it's going to be like a Federation Force Hunter or something.
Oh, God. It's going to be terrible. I don't know. I got nothing, man. I know who I want it to be.
Yeah, it should be Ryu Hayabusa.
Yeah, I want Ninja Gaiden in there.
That's the only one it should be.
It's not going to be.
Or it should be Crash. Crash and Smash. Been saying it for years.
It's going to be something complete. You know what? After playing Crash Bandicoot, I rescind my support of Crash Bandicoot and Smash.
It's going to be fucking... it's going to be Marvel Comics Sleepwalker. Be like, ah, fuck, yeah. Now I got to play it. Son of a bitch.
A lot of people said it's going to be Sakurai. You know what? I think, honestly, it's going to be Waluigi.
I think it has as much chance of being Sakurai as it does being Jose Canseco. Like, fucking stop it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be Waluigi. That's my guess.
Right? That makes sense.
Yeah, not everybody actually wants him. There was a whole meme about people wanting him. I don't think anybody actually wants Waluigi in there, but, you know, the first Fighter's Pass was 5. This one was going to be 6, and I feel like it's like, well, they added that extra one. We're like, all right, fine, we'll put Waluigi in there.
It's weird that he's not in the game.
Yeah, I guess.
It's weird.
I mean, he's in the game. He's an assist trophy.
Sure, but it's weird that he's not a fighter.
Yeah,
all
guess.
Of the rest of them are. Like, all
like,
of the
like,
rest
what do you,
of them.
What do you do with him? Like, what makes
I
him unique?
I don't know.
What would be the point of him being there? I think that's why he's not a character in the first place. Because you look at the character and say, okay, what makes Waluigi a fighter? Like, what do you do with him? What are his recognizable traits?
His mustache looks like a lightning bolt, so you give him some electricity-based bullshit. I don't know.
Yeah, fucking exactly.
Design. You invent a time machine and go back in time and design a better character. Like I'm not sure.
He fits his role perfectly. He does. I love Waluigi. I love the stupidness that is that character. But you know, he's never had his own game. He's never been like the main villain of a game. I mean, I guess he was kind of the main villain of DDR Mario Mix, but
that doesn't sure really count.
How much that counts?
I feel like he should fight like the Joker. But like the comedian Joker with like a lot of like, I don't know, like fucking the boxing glove on the extendo gun thing. I feel like that
like
fits
the Cesar Romero Joker.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That'd be a death battle for the ages.
I'm into that. I think that could work. Just make him a total like goofball fucking clown kind of character, but like a psycho clown, but not psycho clown from AAA wrestling. Because it's a whole other guy. I know you're a big fan.
Huge fan.
Huge. I know you love Psycho Clown. His mask is really cool.
Alright, this next one was really cool. This is the one that got leaked. And I'm glad I didn't know anything about it. Because this one really kind of caught me off guard. Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
Yeah. I guess from me
I
as
think
well.
This looks awesome. I mean, look, it's the first 3D Kirby game. They've never made a 3D Kirby game before.
I know.
They're finally doing Kirby in 3D. I'm pretty excited about it. You know, I like Kirby games quite a bit.
Yeah.
This one looks like they've put a lot more effort into than they did Star Allies, which was a bit of a letdown for me. It's such a weird setting.
The real world? Yeah.
It looks like it's post-apocalyptic Earth. Okay, that's a weird setting for Kirby, and it's all like super fun, happy time music and whatnot. It's like here's an abandoned mall with the people died here.
yeah, this is after Romero's fucking Night of the Living Dead. Now Kirby's
human life
coming
is
in.
Lost here. Nature has retaken the earth, and that's why everything's so happy.
Yeah,
humanity is gone. I'm really into this one. I'm. It's always nice to see. Nintendo putting some money and effort into like a big 3D type of game. I thought this looked great. I was really excited about this one.
I hope it's great. It is just not for me. They started with the gobbledygook voice.
There was a voice?
There was some kind of like, nope, stop it.
There's no real talking in Kirby games.
There should be.
Well, hard disagree on that.
No.
I'm going to say the less explanation of the Kirby mythos, the better we all are.
Nope, I need it in Shakespearean English, delivered by, like, serious actors. Then I would be into it.
What's made me really amused about this is all of the, like, connections to, like, people are saying this is The Last of Us 3.
All right, in that case, I might play it. If he can, like, absorb Joel, I might be into that. That's fine. Yeah, no, I saw this and I was like, man, this is just not for me at all. At all. But I hope people love it. Katie was very excited about it, so.
Yeah, I mean, as a longtime Kirby fan, I've always wondered what this franchise would be like in 3D. And it was always weird to me that they never even tried to throw Kirby into 3D. And I mean,
the closest they got was the golf game and that fucking racing, the superstar racers or whatever.
Kirby Air Ride. People love that game.
There you go. Yeah.
It was a pretty fun game.
Yeah.
But again, you gotta be a Kirby.
Was that like a Rails kind of thing? Like it was...
Yeah, kinda. It was really simplistic, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, they followed that up with the announcement that there's going to be an Animal Crossing Direct in October.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad that they are still supporting that game.
Yeah, I'm glad they're going to do something that is worthy of a Direct. They've been pretty quiet on that game for a while now. They've been like, hey, fireworks shows. Like, okay, I want some more content, please.
Give me something new.
Yeah, I'm done. I mean, I'm never going to get all the art. I'll occasionally poke my head in once or twice a week to see if Red's in town.
Not with that attitude.
Yeah, no, definitely not with that attitude. God damn it. But it's
definitely not going
to
happen.
I'm not going to wait the 5 minutes to start the game up every day just to check and see if Red's in town. Like,
that is annoying. Maybe God, that's what the direct loading is. Time's
brutal. Well, they definitely showed Brewster's coming. So they've added the cafe to the museum.
Right.
People have been begging for Brewster for a while now. And this is the thing that I really don't understand. Like, there's still such a large community of people like, this game's not, it's so empty, there's nothing in it, it's the worst Animal Crossing ever. It's like, first off, go jump off a building. This is not the worst. Go back and play your precious New Leaf. I loved New Leaf when it was out. I can't go back to something like that now. The ability, the tiny inventory, like, all the quality of life stuff they've done for Animal Crossing, no. You're out of your mind. And, like, that's the whole thing. They're slowly adding stuff. Deal with it. It's not they're never going to do this thing. It's over. Like, no, they've decided that if we drip feed this, then people will play it longer and get more out of it. You know, I played this game for a freaking year and changed, and I'm not going to stop playing it, especially if there's more good stuff to do in October. Like,
yeah,
it's just a thing. It's still fun. And I don't understand what it's like. Oh, they're just adding this now because people were complaining about it. Like, are you? No, there's been construction signs in the museum since the game came out. They were always going to add this shit later.
Yeah, that's been the plan from the beginning. Clearly. They haven't hidden that at all.
At all. They're going to add more stuff for years to keep this thing going. And that's fine with me because I was never going to do everything. And if I did, then I would have done everything and burnt myself out and been done with it.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. I am also excited for that. I'm happy about that.
Yeah. I'm hoping I would love to see more things to collect because that's really what made the game for me in the first place was every month being like, all right, what are the new bugs and fish? And then they did sea creatures and that was awesome. Even if they just add a bit to the Critterpedia or something, like give me something else to like collect in that general vicinity. I have no idea. I don't know what they're going to do, but if it's not like the most recent stuff, which has just been like little Twitter updates, they're doing a whole freaking direct on it. That means it's probably a significant update. So I'm into it. Mario Golf's getting some free DLC. Yay. Game looks fun, but I just don't have anyone to play it with. Like, if I thought the kids would play it with me, then I would have bought this game. But it's one of those situations where, like, I would never be able to have any fun with them playing this game.
No, for sure not.
They followed that up with Disney Magical World 2 Enchanted Edition?
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about.
Not even Ellie was interested in that one, because we were all watching it together, because it was at dinner time, so we all just sat down in the living room and all watched it together, and, like, it's like, hey, look, Ellie, it's Elsa, and she was like, meh.
Meh.
Like, okay, you have failed to impress my, you know, princess-loving four-year-old. I don't know what you're doing with this game, but it ain't good.
You done fucked up, Aaron.
You done fucked up. And I think from here on out is where things got genuinely interesting. We got the announcement that Knights of the Old Republic is coming to Switch.
Which is awesome.
It is awesome. It's the original one. It's not the remake.
Which is a little less awesome.
A little less awesome. Well, we think it's theoretically a little less awesome. Because if you're like me, you're pretty nervous about the Knights of the Old Republic remake. Now, I have no connection to Knights of the Old Republic, but I know that game is very highly regarded in the Star Wars community, and if they do anything to fuck that up, it's going to be bad.
No, I sure. My big hope is that they streamline it a little bit, because there's a lot of... I mean, it definitely worked at the time, and it was like, oh, this is so cool and whatever, but I think there's a lot of it, and I haven't played it in years, so I may be talking out of my ass here, but I feel like there's a good chunk of the menus and the systems that, if they just kept it exactly the same, would feel antiquated to the way we play games now. I could be way wrong.
I don't know. I've never played it, but maybe I will.
Which is shocking to me, but...
There's something, like, as much of a Star Wars whore and a video game whore as I am, I've played very few Star Wars games.
Most of them are shit. For some reason,
yeah, KOTOR didn't look good to me, so I didn't play it. But since it's become such a legend, I might try and dedicate some time to it, you know, see what I can do.
Yeah, I think you should.
A lot of people think I should. I think I should, but... Whether or not I have the time, you know, therein lies the trouble. Psychonauts still sitting right over there on that PlayStation. I downloaded it. It's there. I'm ready to play it, except I'm not.
Yeah.
I got to play Kakarot.
I'm ready, but I'm not.
I'm ready, but I got to paint and do other things. I just don't have all day every day to play video games. And that's a goddamn problem.
It really is. You're retired soon.
Dying Light 2, Stay Human. This didn't seem interesting at all to me.
I mean, it's a cool franchise. People dig it. That's really all I have to say about it, yeah.
They're like, remember to stay human. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. Then we got some Triangle Strategy. Terrible name for a game.
I'm intrigued by this one, but also angry about the name.
It's
a dumb name. It's a dumb name. It's dumb like He-Man is dumb. I guess it's a dumb name. You should have done better.
There was,
I love it, but you should have done better.
Oh my goodness, what was the Art Inc.? So there was an amusing bit going on about the fact that this is a triangle game being developed by Square.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some sort of company that's Circle related to it as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of
all
funny.
I have to say about this game. It looks
that's
neat.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I think it looks neat. It's so very much not for me. But I'm glad that the team behind, like, Bravely Default, Noctbreath, I'm glad there's somebody at Square Enix that Square is allowing to just make, you know, traditional style games, because, you know, people still like those.
Yeah.
Then they did a little sizzle trailer thing for Metroid Dread. This was a pre-existing trailer, as far as I know. It didn't look too different from one that I had already seen. Mm-hmm. Which was great. I'm glad they didn't show me anything else, because I'm all good.
I don't need anything else.
You've already sold me, except all the buzz that was going around today. Some sort of a bunch of people got to play a couple of hours of the game. So everybody got to put out their first impressions of it, and, like, it's pretty unanimously like, holy shit, this is the real deal. And that's awesome. You know, that's getting my knickers in a twist.
Yeah.
Then we got the Nintendo Switch Online offerings. This was interesting for a number of reasons. So it's going to be the expansion pack. They don't know when it's launching or how much money it's going to cost, but for a slightly larger fee than the $20 a year that it currently is, you'll get the long rumored Nintendo 64 games, which is cool.
That is cool.
That was cool, yet somewhat predictable. What was not predictable was the addition of Genesis games.
Yeah, that I was like, all right, I'm in.
What?
I don't know how much more money a month that is worth, considering the amount of time I don't spend on the shit I already pay for.
And but, how many of these games are readily available in various other services. But Musha's one of them. Like,
yeah, that's kind of awesome.
It's a neat little selection there, and if the... Because the Genesis collection on Switch is fucking terrible.
Right. The emulation's bad, and...
It's awful. And it's mostly just the Sonic games, too. Like, it varies from game to game. Altered Beast was fine. Sonic Spinball was fine. Had a little bit of lag, but it was fine. Sonic 1 and 2 are, like... nigh unplayable. Some of the worst lag I've ever... I don't understand it. It's ridiculous. I despise it. And John Hancock posted on Twitter that it was like, it's not that bad. It's a little bit overblown. I was just playing and I got a Chaos Emerald. And so I was like, all right, let me see if I got the most recent update. And I did. And so I sat down and I played. I was like, I don't know how you do that because I cannot. This is atrocious. So having, you know, I actually dig the old Sonic game. So having Sonic 2 with a proper emulation on the Switch will be nice. And, you know, I can play Echo the Dolphin to my heart's content.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yes.
And since they're coming to NSO, that means that these games have, like, the rewind feature and stuff. So playing through Musha with a rewind feature, I'm into that. That's a really good way to practice getting good at shoot 'em ups. I like that a lot. I'm pretty into it. And then the biggest deal for me out of this is that Dr. Mario 64 is coming to Nintendo Switch Online. It's the best Dr. Mario game ever. I will have 4-player Dr. Mario on my HDTV. I'm so happy about that. Whatever, name your price, Nintendo, I will pay it for Dr. Mario 64, not having to be played on my N64 in my basement. Oh, Dr. Mario 64 is so good. I was thrilled that that was part of the launch lineup. That game's never been on a virtual console before.
Which is wild.
It's stupid. That's wild. Stupid. No other word for it. Finally, Dr. Mario 64 getting the righteousness it deserves. And they showed, like, games that are coming. Like, and there's more on the way, like Majora's Mask and F-Zero X. And then they did this thing where they were scrolling past all these boxes like, oh, hey, that's pretty cool. Wait, did I see Banjo-Kazooie?
Yeah, you did.
And the Twitter all lights up and Rare confirmed it. Like, yep, Banjo-Kazooie is going to be on the Switch. Well, shit.
Now I gotta.
I mean,
I don't.
Yeah, I don't. But I'm probably still not going to play it.
No, definitely not.
Banjo-Kazooie is just not my bag, but boy, does that game ever belong on the Switch. I'm glad they found a way to put it there. I hope 2E comes out as well, and I hope somebody at Rare wises up and just makes a new... Somebody at Microsoft wises up and pays somebody to make a proper third Banjo-Kazooie game and put it on the Switch.
Yeah.
Because that's money in the bank.
Yeah.
It will never not be crazy to me that that has not happened yet. Like, the amount of people that want Rare's properties on the Switch is freaking crazy. And it kind of makes me wonder if we would possibly get more Rare stuff headed over to Nintendo Switch Online. That'd be really amazing if they did, because, you know, I'd love to get some RC Pro-Am or Cobra Triangle up on the NES stuff, but, you know, who knows?
A boy can dream, Chris. A boy can dream.
And I do. And then there was the controllers.
Those are cool.
Yeah, a little pricey, but, you know, they always are. I'm probably going to buy the N64 one just for the absurdity of it.
Right.
Because it's delightfully absurd. I mean, I don't enjoy playing with the N64 controller all that much, but come on. A wireless come on. Switch N64 controller complete with the like original style analog stick?
Come on.
I don't know if I can say no to that kind of stupid. No. That's amazing.
No, come on.
That's, the Genesis not, one, I'm probably going to pass on. You're not being serious,
right? Like, if you're like, nah, I don't want that. I'm like, really? Okay.
Yeah, no, I do. I'm probably going to pass on the Genesis one, just because it's the three-button one, and no.
Yeah, that's a little weird that it's not the six-button one.
What's weirder is that Japan is getting the six-button one.
I did not know that. Yeah. That's weird. Yeah.
That is really weird.
For sure.
And like I'm sure it's compatible. It could be imported, but why
should I have to do that?
Yeah, exactly. Because not only that, but like Retrobit has officially licensed wireless Genesis controllers
that are really nice. I have one
in my closet. Like they're going to be the same thing, right?
Because one would assume.
Yeah. So I mean, just.
Just do that.
I'm pretty sure it works on the Switch, or if it doesn't, they can be patched in. Yeah, just do that. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, man.
Falls down a well, eyes go crossed, gets kicked by a mule, they go uncrossed again. I don't know.
I don't know.
let's see. They followed this up by Shadowrun Trilogy. That's neat. I didn't know there were three of those. Yeah, that's
pretty cool.
But okay,
I didn't know there were three either until they were like the Shadowrun trilogy. I was fucked, dude. Good for trilogy? You guys.
Really? Okay. All right. Cool.
Good for you.
Castlevania Advance Collection.
There it is. That's the one. That's the one. I haven't bought it yet because I don't have time for it.
Exactly. I just threw it right on my wish list. I will pick it up. It's a confusing collection.
It is.
I mean, I'm not complaining. They didn't need to add a fourth title.
They didn't?
Because it was the Advance Collection, right? There's three Advance games. Okay, sure. That works for me. You could have just done that. Like, no
you
fuck it.
You remember Rondo of Blood on the Game Boy Advance?
Castlevania Dracula X, the Super Nintendo weird port of Rondo of Blood. It's not the same game. Has nothing to do with these other games, this collection.
No, it does not.
It's such a weird outlier. I'm so glad it's there, sure. Because I love that game, and it gets shit on so much for not being Rondo of Blood. Like, well, okay, but it's really good in its own right, so hooray. I'm into it. This one's been getting a lot of mixed responses. I think it looks neat. ActRaiser Renaissance.
I do not like the way it looks.
You know, I don't love the way it looks, but I will say that it kind of gives me it was described to me as like an HD Saturn game. And I think that's kind of a neat thought. I've never gotten into ActRaiser in the first place. So I do know that Yuzo Koshiro redid all the music. Like, he did the music for this new version and made a bunch of new songs, too. That's really cool. The game sounds great. I've heard a lot of mixed reviews on the actual game itself. A lot of people don't like the visuals. I'm not crazy about them, but I feel like if it plays well, then I don't really care, because I'm not bothered by the visuals.
Right.
I don't know.
I like ActRaiser. I really like the way the original looks. Mm-hmm. This one is just kind of rubbing me the wrong way. I don't know.
I get it. I can't even really
articulate what I don't like about it.
Well, I mean,
because it doesn't look bad.
Yeah, but it doesn't look great either, you know what I mean? It has it definitely has a specific style to it that's not like, yeah
it's there's something off.
No question,
there's something about it that I saw that in the Discord and I was like, oh shit, ActRaiser remake, like I'm really excited about that, that's awesome. And then I saw it and was like, I am so much sadder in my pants right now than I thought I was going to be. I don't like being sad in the pants, Chris.
Like being happy in the pants.
I love being happy in the pants. Very, very upset. I don't know. Guy, you're killing me. You're burying the lead. Jesus, this is taking a long time. It's Delta not taking a long time. I just want to get to this.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Deltarune Chapter 2. There was a sizzle reel that showed off like Hot Wheels. And then we got the interruption from Shigeru Miyamoto.
Thank you.
Like, we can't show you any footage from the film or anything like that, but it's coming out.
Because we haven't made any yet.
It's coming out next Christmas. Here's the voice cast. So let's run.
Go in reverse order. Because you know the only one I actually give a shit about.
I mean, I don't know.
No,
I
kind of
give a shit about all. I think they're all fascinating.
All right, go in reverse order. Save the big one for the end.
All right, let me... Mario movie voice cast. I want to see if I can do this in reverse order here. No, this is a fucking slideshow. I forgot to bring up the actual, like, thing here. I just want to see a list of all of them. Nope, this isn't going to do it. What the hell? Why can't I just find all the images and stuff? There, images. Nope, that doesn't do it either.
We're so
I hate
prepared.
You. Why is this? Why is that? Why are you like this, internet?
Why are you like this?
Why are you
question
the way you are?
My daughters ask
okay,
me
all right.
almost every day. Dad, why are you like this?
Okay, so Charles Martinet is going to be in the movie in an undisclosed, surprising cameo roles. Quote unquote. Cool. Glad he's involved. Let's see. This one was probably the most interesting to me because this guy started Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah.
Who is that? Why do I know?
It has like 150 comedy specials on Netflix.
Okay.
He has made an entire career out of like, so I'm fucking Italian, right? And here's a bunch of Italian shit about me and my mother. Like that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Well, this was what was so fascinating about this to me. This one kind of got leaked a while back. This guy's playing Spike. Like, really? The little turtle dude who barfs up, you know, spiky balls and throws them around? Or like Spike from the original Super Mario Brothers movie? Like, nah, they can't be reprising that. No. This is Foreman Spike from Wrecking Crew.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Absolutely fascinating. I don't know this Sebastian guy from a hole in the wall, but the fact that Foreman Spike is going to be a character in this movie is completely insane to me, and I'm into it. I love this one. Fred Armisen is Cranky Kong.
That's definitely something.
That is wonderful. I like that one. How do you feel about that one?
I like Fred Armisen in small doses. When he is reined in, he is very funny. When he goes nuts and is allowed to just like, when he doesn't have any rails, it's not great. That has the potential to be outstanding, though.
That's exactly how I feel about it. I don't want a lot of this guy, but I don't think we're going to get a lot of Cranky Kong in this movie.
Yeah,
this
don't need a ton.
Yeah, this seems like a small role, and I think that is a fun choice for that character. Kevin Michael Richardson as Kamek.
Yeah, that one's... he's a really good voice actor. I don't know what you do with Kamek in this movie, but...
Well, I'm going to guess, just based on what we're looking at here, that we're going to get some sort of, like, history of Mario, right? Because...
Yeah, that would seem likely.
Kamek kidnapped Mario as a baby, right? That's the story of Yoshi's Island.
Right.
We've got Foreman Spike in here. We've got Donkey Kong. So, like, I feel like there's going to be some kind of point in here where we're going to go through, like, short scenes of, like, Mario growing up. That's my guess.
Mm. So, yeah, that does make sense.
And I got no problem with Kevin Michael Richardson as Kamek. I think that's cool. Sure, why not?
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah. This one I kind of like. Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong.
That one, I think, could be really great or is going to be really, really stupid. I think maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with it. Like, but sure, why not?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both.
This doesn't bother me at all. Again, depending on what they do with the character. I don't know. I'm confused. But this one I was okay with. This one I was okay with. Let's see. Keegan-Michael Key is Toad. Sure. He can do whatever he wants.
I'm a big Keegan-Michael Key fan, so I was very excited about that. I think he's a fine choice for Toad. That dude is, if you have never watched Key and Peele, you should really watch Key and Peele. That show is fucking great.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen him do anything I don't like. I even think his commercial appearances are pretty funny sometimes.
Yeah. So,
and this is the thing that I think a lot of people are not understanding about this movie, because there's obviously a lot of people that are very angry that Charles Martinet is not playing Mario. And I don't think those people have thought of the reality of sitting through 2 hours of Charles Martinet's Mario talking conversationally.
Yeah.
What he does for Mario is perfect in the context of the video games, but this is a movie that is going to be full of conversation. They can't. They shouldn't, and clearly aren't. They just shouldn't do just, oh, there's already a Charles Martinet should do all the voices just like he does in the games. Really? Do you want to listen to that in a conversation? Because I don't. I have. Remember when we used to go to those Game Crazy conferences and GameStop conferences and whatnot? Like, Charles Martinet was there and he would do those, like, this behind the screen, having a whole conversation as Mario. It's like, this voice does not work in these kind of doses. Like, you're doing a great job, sir, but I don't want to listen to this.
But I'm done now. Yeah. Thank you.
So, I want that to be said going forward. Like, Mario in particular. Luigi, sure. And pretty much all the other voices that are in the Mario games can be stretched into conversational English, and that's more or less fine. But for a proper animated movie, like, oh no, they're putting these names in there just to get, you know, your regular mom and dad to want to go see the movie. Like, I think they're doing this because, I mean, obviously you want star power for your movie, but you also kind of have to take into consideration it has to work as a movie. So unless Mario is only going to say, like, wah, wahoo, you probably don't want a whole... have a conversation with Charles Martinet doing a Mario like this. No.
I mean, now that you did that, I kind of want that to happen. Kind of sad it's not happening.
If it was just Charles Martinet doing like the weird gobbledygook talk from the Mario and Luigi games, that would be amazing.
Oh, God. No, the gobbledygook would pull me right back out. All right.
Don't even... But no, not like video game gobbledygook. Remember what I said? It's Italian stereotype gobbledygook.
Yeah, that's the bibbidi bobbidi. Exactly. The Family Guy thing we talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
Bibbidi bobbidi. All right,
so the next one they showed off going in reverse was Jack Black as Bowser.
I love Jack Black. That dude can do no wrong. He can also do nothing but be Jack Black. So that's going to be really weird.
It's going to be weird unless they do something to his voice.
Which, you don't hire Jack Black if you're going to do something to his voice.
Well, I'm saying, like, so, if it's just his inflection is still very specifically Jack Black, but if they, like, do some sort of overlay on it to kind of sound more Bowser-y?
Not a chance.
I have no idea.
Not a chance. I adore Jack Black. Honestly, truly, I love Tenacious D. I like a lot of Jack Black's movies. I think he's very funny. I think he is a terrible choice for Bowser.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because he's just going to be Jack Black. He can't do anything else. And that's okay. What Jack Black does is very, very good and very, very funny. But the only other times I've seen Jack Black not be Jack Black is in High Fidelity. And even then, he's still kind of Jack Black. But yeah. I don't think you're going to get a High Fidelity performance in the Mario movie. I'm
trying to think of what exactly Jack Black would do that would be out of character for Bowser.
I when I see an animated movie, I don't enjoy knowing like 100% that like it Poe, it Kung Fu Panda, it's funny because it's a panda first, like, and everybody loves pandas and like they're good movies, but in my mind when I watch that movie, I see Jack Black as a panda, you know what I mean? Not like a separate character.
All right, then let me pose this to you. Did you see the picture they put of Jack Black next to the picture of Bowser?
Yeah, that, like, this is exact. It's going to be like,
because he looks like Bowser.
It's going to be stereotypical Jack Black. I don't know. I don't like it.
I liked this one a lot.
I reserve the right to change my opinion on this one, because I don't think I'm going to change my opinion on the other one.
This one I liked, but also I have to preface the rest of what we're going to say by, like, the one prevailing thing that I have to say about this entire movie is that this is Illumination Studios, okay?
Yeah.
Fine is the best we could have ever hoped for out of this movie.
Yeah.
This is not going to be good. It was never going to be good.
It could have
Fine
been.
Fine is the highest of high watermarks. As soon as they said Illumination Studios, Fine's the best we're going to get. The best we're, I mean, like, absolute shooting for the stars is middling, all right? That's the best we can hope for.
Because think about it, right? Like, the guys who make Minions are not hiring Jack Black to get a nuanced performance out of him.
No.
They're hiring manic Jack Black.
Yeah, they're gonna have Jack Black do Jack Black. They're gonna have Seth Rogen act like a stoner. Somebody's gonna make a stupid mushroom joke. Charles Martinet is probably going to play a video game version of Mario that Mario is going to play and be like, "What? I don't sound anything like that."
Yeah.
These things are going to happen. This is going to be hack the movie.
Yeah.
But it might be an enjoyable hacky movie.
It might be. We were very wrong about the Sonic movie.
Were we, though?
Yeah. That movie's way better than any of us thought it was going to be. That doesn't mean it was good, but it was so much better than any of us thought it was going to be.
It wasn't awful, but at the same time, like, that they took the effort to redo Sonic made me think, like, okay, they care a bit about this movie. I have no interest in ever seeing it again, and neither did my son. He really enjoyed it in the theater. He's never asked to watch it again, even when presented with the opportunity, like, no thanks.
I feel like we're all going to be singing a different tune when Idris Elba as Knuckles hits us in the face, because that's amazing.
Yeah, that there's some inspired casting choices there.
That is something. But I guess I feel very similarly to Bowser as I did to Jim Carrey as Eggman, which was by far my least favorite part of the Sonic movie. Because he was just Jim Carrey.
He was doing very Jim Carrey, and it's like, well, that works, but...
But not for this character, not for Eggman, I don't know.
Exactly, yeah. Not anyway. For Eggman, but I think Jack Black doing Jack Black is closer to Bowser's personality than Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey was to Dr. Eggman.
That is a fucking factual statement, I feel. I don't know that... Anyway, continue.
So Charlie Day is Luigi.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay.
He's okay. I liked him in that horrible Bosses movie with Jennifer Aniston when it was like, oh, look, sexual assault is funny when it's a woman. And then I hate It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So, you know.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't hate that show because of him.
No, it's just not a funny show.
Yeah, it's the writing. So,
yeah. It's just
sure.
Bad.
Why not? He's
which
I'm sure.
Which I know puts me in the minority in a lot of people in our collective circles. But
yeah,
that
and you
show
know I'm
sucks
right
on
there
toast.
With you.
I know.
I just don't like it. I want to because I think Danny DeVito's great. But
I love Danny DeVito.
But I just don't love that show.
Danny DeVito's not in this movie. It's He's fucked not. Up.
That is fucked
he
up.
He should be Toad.
He should be Wario.
Oh, that would be good. Oh, maybe he'll make a guest appearance somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see. Anya Taylor-Joy is Peach.
She is a wonderful actress. I hope they actually give her something to do in the movie.
Yeah, I hope Peach... All right, so here's what I... I hope it's not going to be like Peach for the video games, where she's completely vapid and just gets kidnapped. Mm-hmm. I also hope that they don't just turn her into Cameron Diaz's character from the Shrek movies.
Because, yeah, like, I think that's a big possibility, though.
She's going to do kung fu moves. She might even do like a Matrix move or something like that, because, you know, this is Illumination Studios and meh. But yeah, she's going to kung fu kick somebody for sure. She's going to be
for
like,
sure.
You know,
she's going to hit somebody and stuff. Yeah. And
what?
I like
a girl in a dress can kick somebody. What?
I like Anya Taylor-Joy. I think she is a very, very good actress. She's very funny. She has good, like, comedic chops. She did wonderfully as a host on SNL last season. She was really, really great. So, and she can sing. She's probably going to sing in the movie. That's probably going to happen. I'm fine with this. I like it. She's good. But this is the one. This is the one that I need to know your opinion on, Chris.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I still don't even know. They showed this one. I'm like, what? What?
The worst Chris of all of the Chrises. You included. Is Chris Pratt as Mario? Man, I hope it's great. I really do.
Here's where I keep landing on this. Here's where I keep landing from this. Now, okay. I know that there is... Chris Pratt is not a likable human to a lot of people. I still don't know what that whole story is.
His child got very, very sick. And he got very, very religious, but, like, the church I go to supports gay conversion therapy religious.
Yeah, that's that kind of stuff. So it's like,
that
you kind know, of
that, which isn't great. That's not ideal.
It's not holy shit, no, but it's like, well, yeah, nah. But you know,
I don't love that.
I don't love that either. But here's where I keep landing when I try to just separate, because I thought he was wonderful as Star-Lord. I thought he was great in Parks and Rec.
I thought he was great as Emmett in the Lego movie.
Oh, right. Yeah, he was Emmett in the Lego movie.
He is?
So he knows how to voice act. What I keep coming back to is, if I just think about Chris Pratt's voice itself, it's not entirely dissimilar to Captain Lou Albano.
I don't know that I agree with that. I don't know that I disagree.
It's different, but there is a certain, there's a degree of rasp to it that's not, like, he has that capability of sounding somewhat similar to, I get a very vague, and I mean vague, vibe of kind of that feeling, you know, what Mario sounded like when I was a kid.
Right.
Once I stopped just my head spinning, because never in a bajillion years would I have ever pieced that together.
No.
It started to make a little bit of sense. Like, I don't absolutely hate it, but again, we were never going to get good here. It was never going to be good. So, I don't think it's the worst choice in the world, and I certainly can't think of a better one.
Joe Pesci.
Because I don't know what they're doing with this movie.
Joe Pesci was a better choice.
No. No.
No, Danny DeVito was a better choice.
Again, depending on what they're doing with this movie. Because going straight, like, Italian plumber, Super Mario Brothers Super Show, Danny DeVito, fuck yeah, hands down. But I don't think that's what they're doing with this movie.
But if that's not what they're doing, then I don't know why they're doing it. Like, I'm not saying, like, Super Show, but, like, he's kind of an Italian plumber.
Yeah, but he's kind of not anymore. He's not even officially a plumber anymore.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I just hate it, Chris. I hate it. I don't love Chris Pratt. I don't hate Chris Pratt. The religion thing, I give him a pass, and I guess this is my own bullshit of how I have to rationalize it so that I can still watch the fucking Marvel movies, because I don't need a Chick-fil-A. You know, but, like, his kid got sick. I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I get the desperation of, like, your child is dying. I understand how that leads you down a path of things that I personally don't agree with and don't believe in and would never belong to or support, but I see how you can, I definitely understand how you can get from point A to point B of, I was a dude and now I'm a religious fucking nut job because my kid was dying. I very much understand that. The comfort that could bring through that amount of pain and fear and all of that stuff. I just don't like him as Mario. I just, like, at the end of the day, I just don't see it as a fit. And I was less against it until he put up a thing on, like, Instagram or something where he did the, it's a me, a Mario. He did, like, that take, and he was like, that's not the voice. It was like, oh, God, this is going to be bad. This is going to be real bad. I am concerned. I would rather it be Christopher Walken at this point.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just don't like it. You know who would have been great other than Shia LaBeouf, because that guy, as problematic as he is, could be anything? Fucking, like, Edward Norton. Like, that's the dude that should have been Mario. Give me Edward Norton as Mario.
I don't see that one at all.
Mark Ruffalo? I don't know.
I don't know. That's just literally, I don't know.
Literally anyone but Chris Pratt, I think, is where I've landed on this one.
I have absolutely no idea what the right answer to this is. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I am flabbergasted by it.
Yeah, I was really curious as to what your opinion was going to be. I did not look. I don't know if you responded on the Discord. I want to find out about this in real time. I don't want to have any preconceived notions. I just want to go into this conversation because
I don't
care at all if this movie is good, bad, or indifferent. I could not care any less. The same way I couldn't have cared any less about the Sonic movie. I hope it did well. You know, I had hoped that it was somewhat successful so that maybe some more video game movies could get made. But I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't care. The Metal Gear Solid movie, if that ever gets off the ground, I do have a dog in that fight. I really hope this Uncharted movie with Tom Holland is fucking great. Like, I genuinely care way more about that. This... it's almost because it's Illumination Studios. Like, do you almost feel like you would rather they didn't even make it?
Yeah.
Like, not knowing what it's going to be.
When they said it was Illumination Studios, I was like, I mean, that's some pretty lowest common denominator. I mean, we're talking Rabbids ripoffs here. Like, they made a movie franchise out of Rabbids ripoffs.
Yeah.
A bunch of yellow ovals. Like, no.
And, like, the Minions are very successful. Like, they obviously know what they're doing to get to that point, you know? And the Minions movies aren't the worst thing in the world. They're not great.
They're perfectly fine.
You would feel a lot better. Yeah. You would feel a lot better if it was like DreamWorks was doing this.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, obviously it's not going to be Disney, but you would feel a lot better if it was like, oh, DreamWorks? Fuck yeah. Like, all right. I don't know, man.
We'll see.
It's a fucking wild, wild choice.
Yeah, there are some decisions were made. And, well, you know what? It's not Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo, and Dennis Hopper. Hopper.
They could have gotten fucking Christopher from The Sopranos. Get that guy to be Mario. Get fucking Big Pussy to be fucking Mario. Were you a Sopranos guy? No, nope. Right? No, nope. That's weird. Man, that's a good show. Many Saints of Newark. I'm very fucking excited. It's a good show. Came off the rails at the end. In much like most HBO shows do. Where they're like, well, we're out of shit. I don't know. Daenerys is evil now? Okay.
Sure, cool. Why not? Flick that switch. We have two more things.
Jon Snow could have been a good Mario. Jason
really?
Momoa? No, what? I know.
Now you're just naming people.
I know, I am. I'm just looking around my room at shit. What do I have in here? Uma Thurman? Could have been good. Robert England? He'd have been a good fucking Mario. Eli Manning? He's not doing anything right now.
Eli Manning is Mario.
Fucking Andy Pettit? He's retired. Get him in there. Oh, he's from Texas. I don't know if he could do an Italian accent.
All right, we got two more to get through before we go to the break. Splatoon 3, we got a closer look at that.
Very excited.
Looks great.
It really does.
We finally got a trailer for Bayonetta 3.
Yeah, she's got new hair.
I don't think that's her.
Oh.
You haven't played the games, so.
No. Intrigue.
She's dressed like a grown-up version of the little girl from the first game, which is, I think, actually her, but not. I don't really understand the plot of Bayonetta, but I'm pretty sure that's a grown-up Cereza.
Oh, all right then.
So, yeah. I don't care. It looks like fun.
That's all that matters.
I tolerate the plot of Bayonetta. It's not bad. It's just like, I'm not going to pay attention to this too much because if I do, I might start like having a nosebleed or something because I don't understand what's happening. And right. I don't care.
It's a means to get to the action.
Exactly. It's all about just the action, and the action is very good. Kamiya knows what he's doing. So that was Nintendo Direct.
It was a big Direct.
It was a big Direct.
Nothing for me. I mean, like, obviously I was going to fucking get the Metroid shit anyway, but like, apart from
Metroid,
that.
The Castlevania thing, that's a good one.
Oh, Castlevania, yeah.
Not much for me. I'm excited about The Sakurai Presents. I'm excited about Animal Crossing. I think Kirby looks outstanding. I might finally play KOTOR, Metroid Dread, all the Nintendo Switch Online stuff, Castlevania Advance Trilogy, and Splatoon 3 and Bayonetta 3.
Yeah, I mean, so just comparing it to the PlayStation showcase we got a week earlier that I could not have been any more excited about.
But to be fair, that PlayStation showcase was their E3, because they didn't have an E3. They didn't even have anything there.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
This was a weird one. And again, that they didn't do Advance Wars or even mention Big Brain Academy was a little strange, but...
Yeah, and concerning, but
Nintendo's going to be Nintendo.
They are going to Nintendo just all over the place.
That's what they do. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we're going to cover the 10, 20, 30, 40, and we'll eventually go to bed. But before that, enjoy some commercials. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around. And now, here's a quick look at some of the other original content available now from our partners and Geekade.com.
First up, on an all-new SNES podcast, Greg and Joe are joined by guest host Liam as he brings to the table a game that got released in Japan and Europe in the 90s, but did not get a US release until last year, Pop and Twinbee. The Twinbee series never really took off here in the US, which is a shame because one of its earliest entries, Stinger, for the NES, is a national goddamn treasure. It's basically the originator of the cute-em-up genre, and a genuinely awesome game. So how is this 16-bit iteration of Konami's venerable franchise? Well, find out in the SNES podcast, episode 172, Poppin' Twin B.
I popped a Twin B once. I had to go to the doctor. Next, Wheel of the World.
I like that you wrote that it never really took off, and it's a game about flying. It's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was intentional, but it was very good. It was very good. You're very good at these.
I am. That's why we do them every week. We never accidentally offended anyone.
No.
Next. Proof that I'm good at being bad at this. That's how I'm going to move forward.
You should put that on your fucking CV, dude.
On my what?
Your resume. Sorry. Oh. I was watching fucking IT Crowd earlier.
Oh.
You said you worked with your computers on your CV. I did. Tell me about them. Oh, so much to tell. Clicking, double clicking, mice, mouses, sending emails, receiving emails. I could go on. Dude.
Anyway,
sorry. It's a very funny show.
We live in a world where high-quality arcade racers exist in abundance. There's a new DLC coming to Horizon Chase Turbo. Apparently the new Hot Wheels game is pretty hot. And Cruisin' Blast is, a blast.
Oh, is it?
It is. But none of those games would be what they are if Sega's arcade classic OutRun hadn't been there first. As it celebrates its 35th anniversary, Matt and myself give this legend... That wasn't a typo, bitch. I meant that.
I was looking at it, and I was really hoping you were going to read it exactly as it was written.
Its legendary soundtrack is spin while cruising around in our convertibles. Which one of us was driving and which one of us was the blonde in the passenger seat? Find out
in
Wave Back episode 137,
OutRun. OutRun. Yeah, you're definitely in that blonde wig. I've seen you in the strappy dress. It's very nice. Finally, Patty and Jonathan begin the final season of X-Men Evolution with Impact and No Good Deed. I don't know why I read those backwards. No Good Deed is the one with the exclamation point. Patty wants to discuss Apocalypse's vessel, but Jonathan gets serious when he shares a personal story and relates to both Rogue and Nightcrawler. Has anyone ever cosplayed Harley Quinn? Does Alice Cooper watch 90 Day Fiancé? Find out on Mutant Musings Evolution Episode 18, Bee Friends. Like with two E's, like a bee. Nice. Well done. Excellent accentuation of my point. It's a weird bee impersonation, but I liked it.
Let's be friends.
Ooh. Not the bees! I'm just going to leave it there for all this great content and more from us and our partners.
Keep your eyes on geekade.com. For some reason, I thought there was more But there's not. It's just me saying for all this great content and more from us and our partners, be sure to keep your eyes on geekade.com. But I didn't say it, so...
No, you didn't. So I did.
So you did.
So that's good.
Yeah.
I just keep wiping the spot until you come in. You didn't come in.
Back. And you know who else is back? Russell T. Davies.
Oh my god. I don't want to talk about this.
One?
I am so excited. I am so excited. Look, Christopher Eccleston was great. David Tennant was chef's kiss. Sublime. Wonderful. I really, really enjoyed Matt Smith. There's some... not so great in Matt Smith, but there was a lot of really good stuff there.
There was a lot of Moffitting. during
that era.
There was
a lot of Moffitting. But once Matt Smith ended, for me personally, Doctor Who, which was such a big, important chunk of my life with Tiff and a bunch of my friends in Florida when I lived down there, I could not be any more disappointed in Peter Capaldi's run than I currently am. And I have tried multiple times to watch this new run with Chris Chibnall and Jodie
Whittaker.
And I have made it two or three episodes into her first season five or six times. And I can't get past them. It sucks. It has been so steadily downhill since Matt Smith.
I agree 100%. There was some great stuff with Peter Capaldi, like legitimately great stuff, but there was also, that great stuff only lent to, wow, this should have been so much better because he was amazing. He was so good for the role.
I wanted him to be, when that casting was announced, I was like, I was over the moon. I was so thrilled. I love Peter Capaldi. He loves the show. I was like, yes, this is going to be amazing. And I could
there were moments that were legitimately more disappointed. Yeah, because so much of it wasn't. But man, when he was on, it was just like some of the coolest, some of the best stuff was his run, but also was some of the worst.
Yeah.
It just overall did not work. And it was very, very Moffitty. And then when Moffat was gone, I was like, all right, yes.
I'm back in.
We're back in. And I was really in. I was given the whole Jodie Whittaker thing a chance. She's great. I like the cast. The writing did some really cool things, and then it went so far off the rails, and I really stopped enjoying it. And yeah, I was pretty upset about that.
Yeah, like Dr. Who was huge part of our lives, and to not even care about it right now is heartbreaking to me. But that,
yeah, when new episodes were coming on and like I was on my phone for most of it,
just could not care any less. Could not. Like I said, I have no idea if Jodie's run gets good, because I can't get through those first couple of episodes.
It has good moments, but it has more bad than good, I think. There's some really good stuff in there, but there's also some just yawns. Very similar to Capaldi's run as far as that. And then they did some stuff with the mythology that's just like, okay, now you're just doing shit.
Now you're just shitting all over what has come before you just to do it without, which I like, and Tiff and I were just having this conversation the other day of like how much of Moffat's run where he got quote unquote Moffitty. How much was that Moffat, and how much was that the BBC taking over production of Doctor? Because when Russell T. Davies was the showrunner, it was Bad Wolf Productions making Doctor Who for the BBC. When Moffat took over, it was the BBC making Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much of it was Moffat, and how much of it was like, we got to sell this shit in American Hot Topic stores. You know what I mean?
Not a bad point.
Because I don't
still think it was the general style of the writing that was like the way that they were doing stories that was a little bit of a thing there. But that's. Moffat had a way, and this is the reason I don't think it's that, is because we also saw a lot of this in Sherlock, where it just got kind of sucked a little bit too far up its own ass. And I love Sherlock to death, but
yeah,
last episode of Sherlock's just like, okay, excuse me?
Yeah, that last episode is very strange.
There was a lot of that kind of stuff. Like the stakes kept getting like, well, I got to make the stakes even higher because it just keeps getting higher and higher and higher. So they had to do some sort of big reset thing. And
I see a lot of that felt to me very corporate driven. Like the Statue of Liberty being a weeping angel seems like something
that's something corporate, you want to put on a t-shirt, you know,
that is a corporate boardroom. Like, guys, best idea ever, you know, and like the writers and the cast being like, I don't know. And they're like, no, best fucking idea. Like that felt so over the top. And the fact that Russell T. Davies is coming back and it's going back to Bad Wolf Productions and not the BBC leads me to believe, because like there's some dumb shit in Russell T. Davies' run as showrunner.
Oh, absolutely.
There's some really bad, old, tropey kind of nonsense, but there was a genuine love for the source material and the mythology that has been absent since he left.
I mean, when they dove into that whole thing where the doctor had, like, that other mysterious doctor that showed up, the big black woman, and then, like...
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, there was, like, another version of the doctor that showed up that wasn't any of the incarnations, because the doctor was, like, the first ever Time Lord and had, like, an untold number of regenerations before William Hartnell. And it's like, oh, I see what you're doing. Stop it.
No, that's not... No.
It just completely changed the mythology, like, made the doctor, like, this whole Chosen One type character thing. Like,
nope.
They changed the core of a lot of what made the character, and I hated that. I hated that whole run, and when it was over, I was just like, what did you do? Like, you've deflated so much of what I loved about this show, and I'm really bummed about it.
Yeah.
But if they can write the ship, then they can write the ship, because really anything can be retconned, right?
Sure.
Because she learned a lot of this information from the master. He could have been lying, right?
He was. And that's all it needs to be. Master's going to master. On exactly. We go.
10, 20, 30, 40.
I want it to be Dr. Moon. That's who I want the next doctor to be. We've already established he or she, whatever, can pick their face. The fucking dude who played Dr. Moon in those episodes, that guy was dope. I'd be into that.
Karen really wants it to be Richard Iowade.
I love Richard Iowade. I adore Richard Iowade. That I cannot imagine a worse possible choice.
Oh, yes, you can. Chris Pratt.
Nope. I would rather have Chris Pratt than Richard Iowade. I am looking at my Moss Perler bead hanging up in my office right now. I will die on that fucking hill that Richard Iowade would be a terrible choice for the doctor.
Okay, let's talk about the 10, 20, 30, 40. Let's go back to 2011. Boy, oh boy, I'm not seeing a whole lot of stuff here that's worth its weight in human feces.
it's poop.
Definitely worth mentioning. Here's something I have to mention. Blood Rain Betrayal came out for PS3 and 360 in September of 2011. You know why that's noteworthy?
Why?
Because I had no idea these games existed until they announced the remake or the re-releases that are coming out on modern platforms.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're putting these things like, oh, Blood Rain returns and these reissues. I'm like, well, they made a 2D Blood Rain. That's kind of a weird thing to revive. Oh, these existed before. I've never heard of this in my lifetime. That's right. Weird. Yeah, let's see. Like, Resistance 3. Man, remember they were making Resistance games?
Yeah, they were good. I mean, for what they were. You know, they weren't Halo killers, which everybody was trying to be at the time, but they were good.
I don't think anyone was actually trying to be. I think
media outlets wanted us to think that they
were trying to be. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a good game. Resistance franchise was cool.
Star Fox 64 3D came out in the 3DS.
Yeah.
That was a very nice looking remake. Really wish that they put that on HD consoles.
Give it time. They'll get there.
Yeah. Let's see. Call of Juarez, the cartel. God of War Origins Collection.
Yeah, I mean, those games had already been out, though.
Yeah, that's not really a big new thing. Blah, blah, blah. Wow. Kirby Mass Attack for DS. That was a funny game.
Yeah. Maybe.
Did you ever do anything with that? I mean, I assume you never played it.
No.
It was a Kirby game.
A silly question.
It was a Kirby game. I've only played a little bit of it, but it was a Kirby game where you weren't Kirby, you were a bunch of Kirbys. And you used the touchscreen to just throw Kirbys. It's really weird.
That is so far not for me. Like, hey, you don't like Kirby, but would you like a bunch of Kirbys?
No. One of the things I love about Kirby is how malleable of a character he is. They use him for all these weird-ass experiments, and I love weird-ass experiment Kirby. That's how we got Kirby's Dream Course.
That's fair.
Oh, Gears of War 3, that was a big deal.
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, still not for me. Man, I'm very negative this week. I apologize, everyone.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
These things happen.
I'm not trying to be. I'm not in a bad mood or anything.
Hey, we were talking Twinbee before. 3D Classics Twinbee at the 3DS eShop. It was a strange pick.
It is a strange pick.
Brunswick Pro Bowling, Driver, San Francisco, FIFA 12, Pro Evolution Soccer, Code Veronica. Man, a lot of re-releases. Oh my god, X-Men Destiny! Is that what I think it is?
Is that the fighting game?
Hold on. Is this this is the Silicon Knights one. I need to find and buy this game. I still don't know what this game is. I've never heard anyone say anything good about it.
No one has played it. It released, it sat on store shelves, it stopped.
It's got a Metacritic of around 50 out of 100.
That's not great.
And it came out on PS3, 360, Wii, and DS. DS one got the lowest ratings at 33 out of 100. Silicon Knights, what a dumpster fire Silicon Knights became.
A studio that started with so much promise.
Oh my god, so very much promise. Was this their last game?
I think so.
Let's see. According to Wikipedia, along with many other games published by Activision that had a Marvel license, X-Men Destiny was delisted and subsequently removed from all digital storefronts on January 1st, 2014. The game and another game, Too Human, were recalled and had their unsold copies destroyed due to legal issues between Silicon Knights and Epic Games over the game's use of Unreal Engine 3 code. Just amazing. X-Men Destiny. Yeah, I need to own that game.
And is it... like, does it feature the X-Men character Destiny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. No, not the X-Men character Destiny. I don't think so.
Because, like, it should.
Which,
God, this just looks bad.
Right?
I mean, this looks real bad.
Hilariously bad. And I need to have it.
I mean, you should probably get the Wii version.
I kind of want them all. Want to go over the set?
I can't imagine they're that expensive, but I've said that before and been really surprised at the number that I have then seen next to said dumb shit.
Wow, you are 100... Man, this just looks atrocious.
Yeah.
For its generation.
Yeah, even for its generation, this looks real bad.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs just
astonishing.
Down, Charlie.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to top that, so let's move on.
Yeah, let's go to September of 2001. Nothing big happened then. That
right?
Kind of distracted the world from everything else. Never forget,
but
Chris.
Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about video games.
Let's talk about games. What do
let's
we got?
See. We've got the N64 came out swinging this month. Let's see. The N64 had one release to the PlayStation's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 PlayStation games.
Okay.
7. Sorry, I can't count. So N64 got Madden 2002.
Oh shit!
Yeah, there it is.
An excellent vintage.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the PlayStation 1, of course, the PS2 is existing at this point, but PS1's still kicking with DDR, Disney Mix, Nicktoons Racing, Tales of Eternia, X-Men Mutant Academy 2, NBA, not NBS. That's not a thing. NBS Shootout 2002, SpongeBob, Super Sponge, and The Weakest Link. So, not a great month for anybody here.
Don't need to talk about any of those.
Mutant Academy was fine, but let's just move on. Over on the Dreamcast, Sega's being weird as shit with Heavy Metal Geo Matrix and Ooga Booga. On top of the excellent NFL 2K2 and the tolerable Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare.
Mm.
Oh, and Phantasy Star Online version 2 at the Dreamcast.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That was a big deal.
Yeah. Solid month for the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Let's see what the relatively new PS2 had to offer us. NFL Quarterback Club 2002.
Very exciting.
Portal Runner.
Mm. Yeah.
The offshoot of the subpar Army Man franchise that refused to go anywhere. Arctic Thunder. That's a cool game. Arcade port, but still Arctic Thunder. NHL 2002, NHL Hits 2002, Spy Hunter. That was the one that was tied into the Rock movie that never happened, I think.
Then
we have Silent Hill 2, which is a very loved game.
Silent Hill 2 is great, man.
Yeah, and then followed up by Ico was also this month.
Mm. Mm.
And Guilty Gear X.
Oh, fucking Guilty Gear X.
The top half of that list is pretty trashy, but man, Silent Hill 2, Ico, Guilty Gear X, solid arcade port, and Arctic Thunder. Like,
yeah, that's good stuff, man. This is a good month.
Yeah.
That's good
stuff. Dreamcast had him beat on the football department because Quarterback Club is. But still, that was a good month for PlayStation 2. PlayStation 2's looking good. Then we have the handhelds, Game Boy Color, still cranking out Game Boy Color games. Portal Runner, Madden 2002, and James Bond 007, The World Is Not Enough.
Nope, it wasn't. Not to make a good game.
Boo.
For sure.
But the Game Boy Advance had a much better showing with Tetris Worlds, a pretty decent Tetris game. The original Advance Wars, hell yeah. The, I believe, very good Spider-Man Mysterio's Menace. I believe this is one of those portable Spider-Man games that's a Metroidvania. It's supposed to be really good.
God, have I played... I think this is the one that I really liked. I think so. Because, like, yeah, there was, one? Like... There was a bunch of different costumes and shit you could get. Like, this one's pretty cool. The graphics leave a lot to be desired, I think. I always hated in the like the non console Spider-Man games and even some of the old console Spider-Man games where he didn't have the webbing on his costume. Just always really it just looks so wrong. You know?
Mm. Yeah.
To me anyway.
We have X-Men Reign of Apocalypse. This was kind of a brawler, beat 'em up kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was fine. Not amazing. It unfortunately went up against Final Fight 1, which was pretty excellent. Final Fight for the Game Boy Advance with some really good stuff in it. So if you were buying a brawler that month, you wanted to get Final Fight 1. But yeah, pretty solid month for the Game Boy Advance.
Such a good system.
Yeah. GBA. Great stuff on there.
So good.
Yes, indeedy do. And that was September 2001.
Yeah.
Not bad.
No, definitely not.
Not bad at all. Not great. A little weak, but we were in, you know, a console life transition there a bit. So, all things considered, could have been worse. So let's see how September of 1991, yes, it could have been worse in the realm of video games. Not talking about anything else in September 2001. Never forget.
Never forget.
September 1991. Let's go 30 years ago. 30 years into the past. The NES, this is pretty nice lineup here. Smash TV, Gun Knack, Bases Loaded 3, Captain Planet, and NES Open.
I like Smash TV.
Oh, I lost Dan.
Did I lose you? Did I lose me?
Dan, come back.
What happened?
He's Hello? About to say he likes Smash TV. I don't think he knows he's gone yet. Come back to me, Dan. There he is. Hey, buddy.
There you are. Okay. There you are. I don't know what happened there for a second. My browser
really
just
excited
went,
about Smash TV and just left the call.
I like Smash TV. Deuces.
Smash TV is great.
Yeah. I like Gundam too.
NES port's okay.
It's not super fun on the NES.
Yeah, it's a dual analog thing.
It's hard. I think I like Gundam a lot too. It was like a weird carrot thing. It's a lot of
I'm
weird.
I'm trying to remember what Gunnack is.
There's a lot of really weird. Oh, this isn't why you made the carrot joke earlier?
No, there's I was talking about Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
Oh, okay. There's a weird robot rabbit that shoots carrots at you.
Oh, then yeah, this is definitely why I made that joke.
Oh, okay. 100%. I'm good. Well done.
Definitely, definitely clever enough to have done that. Yeah, no, Gunnack. Yeah. I remember this game. It's pretty weird.
There's some weird shit. There's some weird shit in this game. Which is why I dig it.
Base loaded 3, good times. NES
yeah,
open
base loaded
is
3 is good.
NES open's good golf game. So yeah. Yay. Sega Genesis coming out with the big boys here. Sega Genesis looking good with Decap Attack.
Ooh.
It's a good game.
Another Vic Takai joint.
Yeah. Pac-Mania.
Ugh.
Oh, Raiden Trad. Pac-Mania was alright. That was the puzzle game.
What is Raiden Trad?
It's a side-scrolling shoot 'em up.
Was it?
From the Raiden series?
Oh, okay. Okay. Never mind. I'm being dumb. Yeah.
Never mind. A pretty solid port of Rampart, if you're into that sort of thing. The original Road Rash, that's a big one.
Road Rash is so fun.
Oh, man. Original Turrican, pretty solid port. And then, of course, Streets of Rage. Wow. Decap Attack. Road Rash, Streets of Rage, and Turrican. That's a month.
That
Way
is
to
a
go,
month.
Sega Genesis.
Man, I really, really love Streets of Rage.
I like Streets of Rage.
I really love that series. It's really fun. Anyway.
Sorry. Meanwhile, the TurboGrafx-16's got TV sports hockey. Way to go, guys.
Well done, you. You tried. That's something.
So let's see. What was the Super Nintendo doing to compete with that month in Sega Genesis? Not a lot.
Nothing.
Definitely not nothing. All right. So we got Chess Master. Whatever. Draken. I don't know this game. Like, I know what it looks like. I know what the box looks like. I don't know what kind of game it is. Hyper Zone was neat. It was kind of a... It was a technical showpiece. I didn't think the game was very fun to play, but it was very, very cool technical thing going on. Very 3D-ish looking. Super
I don't think
R-Type.
I've ever played it. Oh, I love Super R-Type.
Super
That's
R-Type's
good stuff.
Excellent. Populous, game people like. I never really got into that one. I loved Super Bases Loaded, though.
Super Bases Loaded is very good.
That game's very fun, but the star of the show, without a doubt, was UN Squadron.
Yes.
In my humble opinion, the best scrolling shooter ever made.
I wouldn't go that far.
I definitely go that far, but
I know that you
also
do.
Know I'm in a bit of a minority there, and I don't care. It's amazing. That game is just...
It's real good. It's real good.
It is top quality stuff right there. So yeah, I think overall Genesis had the better month there.
Yeah,
it's
I think
hard
so.
To top Streets of Rage, Turrican, and the original Road Rash. Those were some big ones, and Decap Attack. Stuff like Chess Master and Populous are very, very fillery, but, Super R-Type and UN Squadron coming in strong with those guys here. Man, I still can't believe that that Disney Classic Collection thing. Sorry, I just got distracted by that. The Disney Classic Collection is getting added the Super Nintendo version of Aladdin and a bunch of versions of the Jungle Book.
Oh, is it?
So weird. Yeah, they're selling it as a new game.
That's weird.
It's really strange. Yeah. But hey, man, they got the Capcom Aladdin in there and the Jungle Book.
Yeah, whatever. Jungle Book's awesome. I like that game a lot.
Anyway, the Game Boy. That's right. We talked about Game Boy Color 10 years later in September 2001. Effectively the same hardware, minor upgrade from Game Boy to Game Boy Color. We're still rocking that here. This was
upgrade adjacent.
This was, you know, I don't know. Bugs Bunny Crazy Castle 2, sure. Fortified Zone, that game's fine. Gauntlet 2 on Game Boy, all right. Info Genius Productivity Packs, the Game Boy version of Tecmo Bowl was pretty decent.
And yeah, it was pretty good.
Spot the Video Game.
Not a great month.
No.
Not a lot of stuff where it's like, oh, you haven't played this? You gotta play this.
Original Game Boy had a lot of cool stuff going on, but it also had a lot of shovelware, so.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Their competition, though, over on the Game Gear had one release, which was Fantasy Zone, which is a very solid port of Fantasy Zone on the Game Gear, but again.
It's still Fantasy Zone.
It's still just Fantasy Zone. It doesn't have a wide appeal.
No.
Over on PCs, we got the original Civilization. That's kind of cool.
Kind of a huge deal.
Yeah. It's a pretty big deal. And then the arcades got Sunset Riders and Captain Commando.
I don't know that I've played the arcade Captain Commando. I do love the shit out of Sunset Riders, though.
The arcade Captain Commando, it's a beat-em-up, and it's weird as hell. I mean, any where one of the playable characters is
a
baby in a mech suit, that's
What am I talking about? I'm thinking of a completely different game. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm very tired.
I was a little taken aback by you saying you hadn't played Captain Commando, but...
Sorry, I spaced out there for a second. No, the arcade Captain Commando is amazing. You can be a ninja, or like a weird alien, or a baby in a mech. Yes, to all of those. I want to be all of them at the same time. I want to be a ninja, baby, alien, in a mech.
We'll be all those players.
That game's great.
Well, it's a September of 1991. Pretty solid. Yeah. Pretty solid month overall.
Yeah.
And then all we got for September of 1981, 40 years ago, we've got Galaga hit the arcades.
Kind of a big deal.
That's people like Galaga. Much the big deal.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing I had for this month was Utopia for Intellivision.
I do not know what that is.
I know I've got a couple of copies of it. it's just one of those things that tended to show up in any kind of collection. If you were ever going to get some Intellivision games, somebody's got a copy of Utopia laying around. It looks like Risk. I don't know, the whole game is just a map, and you're putting shit on it.
Okay. Is that going to get an exclusive port to Amico?
I'm sure Utopia is coming to the Amico. No question.
As an aside, it's a good thing I didn't read that article last week before you were like, hey, do you want to talk about this? Because I had thoughts.
Moving on. All right. Well, we're not moving on to anything. That's it. That's
moving
the
on to bedtime, Chris.
Moving on to bed. What the hell are we going to do this month? It's October, right? So
October. It's spooky month. Spoopy month? I don't know. What do we do?
I think we've been having a lot of fun. I'm glad we're having this conversation just live on the show.
Yeah.
I thought about contacting you about it earlier.
This out. Yeah.
I'm sure he will. We've been having a lot of fun doing our ranking episodes. Maybe it's time for us to rank Castlevania's.
Fuck yeah.
You want to do that next week?
Yeah. I mean, next week is the fucking, what's next in the Stone Age starter kit? So that's the first week of the month.
Oh, right. So next week's Stone Age starter kit. All right. Yeah.
Sorry. That is TurboGrafx 16.
Oh, fuck. Good. That's going to be
a very short episode. Get Splatterhouse and then fucking throw the other $42 away. That's basically my list next week.
All right. And then the following rank all the Castlevania games.
There you go. So look at that. Not only did we just fucking, like, we just gave you 2 weeks of teasers.
Boom.
We just fucking just the tipped you real hard.
Oh my god. All right, but I'm really tired, and
yeah, we better stop. I've gotten to the just the tip section of jokes. We better put a plug in it. Get it? Like an anal plug, Chris? It's very funny. It's funnier when you explain the butt sex jokes. Next.
See, I don't know if it's just me, but it's not looking as blue anymore. Maybe it's because I'm tired.
What, the butt sex jokes? They're not looking the walls. As blue? Yeah. Oh, okay. They're closing in?
I'm crazy. I'm out of my fucking mind. Anyway. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're on most social media platforms, and if you want to get in touch with us, we aren't very difficult to find. All it takes is a quick look at our show notes, and you'll see links to our social media accounts, as well as all manner of other fun stuff, like a link to our namesake, StoneAgeGamer.com, the Geekade Patreon, which helps keep this show running week after week, and more useful links than you can shake a joystick at. I feel like in the most recent episode of the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast, Ferg didn't do the whole, the black and white switch is not used in this game. And that made me sad.
Well, but now we don't have to.
Only if it actually didn't happen. Maybe it did, and I missed it, or I'm imagining things. Anyway, I love Ferg.
Maybe some combination of all of those?
Could be. This show's theme song, Squared Roots, was written by Banjo Guy Ollie. You can learn all about his wonderful music and more by following the link to his YouTube channel, also in the show notes. And he just did a 10-minute and change cover of Deadmau5's Strobe, which is absolutely amazing. Highly recommend it. Anyway, finally, as always, we'd like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks. We'd like to thank all you folks for listening in the first place. Holy crap, I'm tired. Thank you again for listening. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.